Good morning.
This weekend's gospel is full of analogies, or what we would probably more properly call allegory. And so I'd like to get started by acquainting you with some of the characters in the gospel today and who they represent. The landowner, or the owner of the vineyard, is God. He also created a vineyard. The vineyard is the people of God. In the Old Testament, that would have been the Israelites. In the New Testament, us, the church. The slaves represent the prophets who came to the ancient Israelites to call upon them to produce fruit from the covenants that God had given them. Jesus is the Son who is cast out of the community, indeed cast out of Jerusalem, and killed. The tenants are the leadership. At the time of Jesus, this would have been the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders in the Jewish community. But this also pertains to the Christian community and its leadership. The others, which are referred to in the gospel today, are the others that God will give the responsibility of leadership of the people of God to. He will take it away from the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders of the Jewish community and give it to others. And this has many facets. He'll give it to Gentiles, non-Jews. He'll do it to give it to another community, that is the church. What Jesus is doing in the gospel today is essentially retelling salvation history. You see, God had given these covenants, these promises to the people of God, asking them to respond in kind. Yet they continually disobey him, and they don't fulfill their end of the covenant. So what God does in this long history of the Old Testament is he finally sends his prophets to say, okay guys, you need to get in gear here. You need to start holding up your end of this promise between you and God so that you can experience the good fruit of it. But what do? They stone and kill the prophets. And this indeed happened to Jeremiah, Uriah, and Zechariah, prophets of the Old Testament. So Jesus is clearly telling us, in the context of this transition from the Old Law and the Old Testament to the New Law and the New Testament, that he is giving new leadership to the community of God, to the people of God. Now you might say, well, that's great, Father Matt. You did a good job explaining what it meant back in the time of Jesus, but what does it mean for us today? Well, number one, this parable is principally about the leadership and the responsibility of those tenants who are set to govern over the vineyard, over you. And so number one, we need to be praying for our leadership. We need to be praying for our bishops, our priests, and our deacons. Number two, we need to be accepting the responsibility of leadership in the church, and that is lay leadership as well. Your job to be leaders within the community. And thirdly, it means also recognizing our leadership even within our families. Men, especially, this is your job. Do you lead your family in prayer every night? Spouses, do you take responsibility for each other's souls? Are you good tenants? And what will you have to show for it when God comes demanding fruit? Demanding some result from this thing that he has entrusted you with, whether it be your spouse, your children, your job, your money. In the end, are we good stewards? But another principal application of this gospel comes in the vineyard itself. Four things to take away today from this gospel. Number one, that God creates a vineyard, that God creates a people, his own. And remember, a vineyard, if you've ever been to one or driven by one on the road, it's grapes growing on a vine. It's little pieces of fruit connected to one another. And it's really a beautiful picture of what the church is, guys. Think of a little group of grapes. I'm sure there's some proper name for a group of grapes. But that's like us here at Christ the King. And we're connected via the vine to all the people over at St. Francis and all the people over at St. Elizabeth's and every other Catholic church. We're connected via this strong vine, which is Jesus Christ. But we're each a little piece of fruit. And we grow, we ripen, and at the proper time, we are picked to become something else. And then when the gospel talks about a wine press, this is another beautiful image for us. A wine press in the Old Testament, and you're welcome to Google this, you'll see some more modern ones, but you'll also see these big stone ones. And these big stone wine presses had a big cylinder up top with a little trough around the edge, and that trough had a single point where it dropped off around the edge. And that what they would do is crush the grapes up top, and they would flow into this trough and down into some type of vessel below, often a big stone box. And then they would have another spigot, if you will, or a little plug in the bottom of that where they could drain it out. And the grapes would either be crushed by a stone or, if the movies are correct, by a bunch of women with really beautiful feet, right? But if you couldn't find all these women with beautiful feet, you'd get a stone and you'd crush these grapes, letting the juice flow out and then down into this vat below. And it's a beautiful image, you guys, of what God wants to do for you and I. Those grapes, like I said, are our lives in the community of the church, connected to the rest of the people of God. But those lives have to be crushed. And you might say for a second, well, that's not very nice. Do you want me to be run over by a bus? No. But there's two senses in which we must let our lives be crushed. Number one, by surrendering this life over to Jesus. To let the life we know, a life attached to sin, a life attached to material things, a life attached to our own ideas must be crushed to become something else. Just like these grapes become something else. There's a sense in which we are also crushed in that we do physically die. But again, that is not the end of the story. We're crushed, but we become something else. And what we become is something much richer and much better than what we were before. Just like those grapes are crushed and that juice comes out, and then it is left to ferment and become wine, we too go through that kind of process. And guys, sometimes honestly it does feel like you're crushed, like your soul is crushed. And that's okay. So many people, they say, well, Father, I'm having a crisis of faith. I feel like I've lost everything, lost my faith. Maybe it's because Jesus is allowing you to be crushed so that you will surrender your will and become something new. In the Bible, wine is very symbolic. Mainly because kings were the only ones that could afford to drink wine, at least good wine. It was a symbol of divinity, of power, of richness. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do for you when he does allow your lives to be crushed, give you the opportunity to surrender, is that he wants to make you into something new, something rich, and something divine. We've talked about the vineyard and its meaning, about the wine press and its meaning. What about this hedge that the vine owner plants around the facility? Well, a hedge, probably a little bit bigger than the ones we have outside the church here, we're meant to protect. We're meant to keep animals out, things that would come in and destroy the vine. And the tower as well was for a watchman to stand up there and to watch out for anybody trying to invade. It could be an army, it could be the guys next door wanting to come and steal your produce. This is a reality that we often deny or don't think about enough as Christians. That the devil, as 1 Peter says, is prowling like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. He's coming after you. But the beautiful thing, guys, is that God has set up a hedge and a watchtower, a means of protection for you. And that is his church and his laws, the Ten Commandments, the precepts of the church. He wants to watch over you and guide you. He wants to protect you. But so often, many of us as Christians fall into this thinking that I don't need protection. Or what's out there on the other side of that wall? What's out there on the other side of that hedge? In fact, it's a very popular notion in our culture that if you haven't gone outside that wall, outside the vineyard, you haven't experienced life. If you haven't tried this or that, you haven't tried life. Maybe it's drugs, alcohol, sex. If you haven't tried those things, you haven't lived. Yet look at the results that all those things bring to our lives when they are misused outside the confines of God's vineyard. And you know what? This makes sense in a way. If we get it into our heads that there's a God out there that doesn't really care for us, isn't really watching over us, doesn't have a plan for our lives, then you know what? It makes sense. Get out there. Try everything you can. Because it's the only way you're going to find fulfillment. But guys, if Jesus loves you, if God created you, and if God has a plan for your life, then you don't need to go out there. Everything you need is right there in the vineyard. So many times, many of you know, one of my jobs over the past year has been maintenance here at Christ the King. It's just, should go out and compare the wages a maintenance man would get to a priest. It's probably better. And it's funny because so many times I'll be, you know, up on a ladder or laying down in the dirt working on something, and one of you will come along and you'll say, "Father, did you know that you could do it this way or that way? Or did you think about that?" And I suppress this deep-seated urge inside of me to hit you. And then I think to myself, why do I feel that way? And I try to justify it in my head. I try to say, well, they haven't done all the research I have, or they haven't talked to all these contractors, or they're not here down here on their knees doing the work. Yet, you know what? When I take my attitude to prayer, what I find out is that I just don't like being told what to do. And isn't that the case for many of us? When your wife says, honey, could you grab that out of the fridge? Kids, when your parents say, go clean up your room, please. Well, I'll just happen to find my way past the television on the way, and then I might meander outside and ride my bicycle down the street, and then I might come back inside and I'll watch TV for a little bit longer, and then I'll go ask Mom what's for dinner, and then I'll go clean my room. I did what my parents told me to do, right? You see, at the core, we're fighting this urge inside to surrender our will, to be crushed, to let God have control and let go of our own. Today, in this Eucharist, will you allow your own wills to be given over to the Lord of life, to the God who created the vineyard, who sustains you in it, and wants to make you into something new? Will you allow Him to protect you, to watch over you? Will you let Him take your lives as they are, and to make them into something new, something rich, something divine?